Can you believe it? What a setup. It's the perfect scripture for Stewardship Sunday. The sermon practically writes itself. After a man with many possessions walked away grieving because Jesus told him that to find treasure in heaven, he needed to sell all he had and give it to the poor, Jesus turned to the disciples and said, "It's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle." So friends, Jesus says, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you better pull out your statement of intent card and add a zero to the end of whatever number you've already written there. Amen. And I know that you know, unless you're one of those who's here who maybe is hearing me preach for the very first time, you know that this is not the good news. This is not what I would preach ever. Of course, the problem is you can read the text that way. Right now, I assure you, there is some church somewhere where a message is being preached about how much you have to give in order to be truly faithful, about how much you have to give to know for sure that you're going to be saved. But that, to be clear, is not the good news of Jesus as we understand it. First and foremost, we are saved by grace. It is God's nature, God's being to care for us, to be in relationship with us, to love us. God does not, I repeat, God does not have to save us from God. God is saving us from ourselves, from our own brokenness, our own sin, our own conflict that leads to division, antagonism, self-centeredness, hatred, violence, self-destruction. Jesus' good news is that God is with us, in us, among us, to help us, to transform us, to lead us, to call us, to teach us, to save us from the power of fear and death. And if that's what we believe, that Jesus is teaching us about God, then it means you can't read this scripture passage that way. It changes the way we see it. We don't see it as a threat. It's a promise. It's a calling. It's a gift. You know, I believe that it's a part of the human condition. It's part of who we are. Deep down, we're infected with fear. We all struggle with insecurity. We have this sense that there's something missing, something lacking, that we're somehow incomplete, not good enough, not strong enough, not secure enough, not smart enough, not healthy enough, not in control enough, not vital, not alive enough. There's a pervasive sense inside us that there's a hole in my soul, a tear in my being, a brokenness of spirit, and much of life is often spent wrestling with this fear, trying to assuage this fear, trying to find that thing that will make me whole and complete, that thing I can do that will make me okay. Sometimes we become obsessed with trying to convince ourselves that we're okay, that we're not broken, that we have found what we need or what we need to do to fix ourselves. In the church, we call this obsession, we call this being driven by fear, we call this being controlled by our need to find a fix, we call that sin. And the things that we find in this obsessive search, the things that we grab a hold of and say, this is what will fix me, the things that we compulsively do to convince ourselves that we're okay, we call these things that we seek idols. Sin is the search for a thing to fix us, to fill the hole, to satisfy the lack, to make me feel that I'm okay, so I can stop being afraid. And an idol is the thing which we believe will do that. Now, I know I don't often talk this way. I don't often talk about sin in this way. And I can't even remember the last time that I used the word idol in a sermon. But this is an underlying understanding of the way things are. And today it seemed particularly helpful, given that it's Commitment Sunday and this scripture passage about this wealthy man who went away sad. Today I think it's important to bring this deeper theology to the surface. For what I believe is happening in this story with this man who tells Jesus that he's done everything he can to follow the commandments, which are a foundation for loving our neighbors and taking care of one another, what is happening is that Jesus is able to perceive that this man's obsession, the thing that gives him a sense of control, wholeness, fixing himself, was wealth. For this man, wealth is his idol. For this man, wealth is what stood in the way of his finding the kingdom of God, following Jesus, walking into that reign of grace and mercy and compassion and acceptance, a reign of love that casts out fear and ends division and hatred and violence and vengeance and brings us peace. This is a story about idols. The particular man in this story, his idol was wealth. Wealth may not be your idol. For some people, money's just a tool used to exchange what we have for what we need. But for others, money, wealth, is an idol. The thing they believe will fix it if we could just get more. Almost anything can be an idol. Some believe friends will make them whole, fix them, create meaning, or children, or success, or being independent, or having the approval of others, or acquiring things, or sex, or a hobby, sports, gambling, alcohol, some combination of a bunch of these things. So many other things, almost anything. Today's gospel story is about a man who did everything he could to follow God's leading, except he just could not shake the fear of not having enough. Maybe the reason this story in the gospel lifts up a man who had the idol of wealth is because that idol is very common in today's world. In our culture, I think wealth is indeed one of the most common idols. But this story, in a bigger, broader sense, this story is about a human being who really, truly tried to love God and his neighbor, but he had this fear that he just couldn't shake, that this one thing was just so important that he couldn't let it go. So this story's about you and me, about each of us. How impossible it is for us to truly let go of trying to find that thing, do that thing, accomplish that thing that will finally fill the hole, mend the brokenness, make me feel okay. Jesus said, it's even more difficult to let go of that thing than to shove a 6-foot-tall camel through a 1/8-inch hole in a needle. But this is the good news. We don't have to fix ourselves or save ourselves. or bring ourselves into the reign of God. We don't have to do the impossible thing because God already loves us, because God already made us beloved, because we are already whole, because the lack, the hole in the soul, the brokenness, the fear is part of an illusion created by a world full of broken, fearful people. This is what is real. You are God's beloved. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to prove anything. You are beloved. You don't have to put another zero on whatever number you put on your card to get into heaven. You don't have to do anything to be God's beloved. You already are. You always have been. You never will not be. This is the good news. That's why we're able to share from what we have, to share our time. So many of you work so hard in this place, to share our energy, our compassion. So many of you do so much to take care of one another, to make a difference in our community, our treasure. So many of you are so generous with what you have. The reason we do all this, the reason we're able to do it, and so much more, all the things in our mission statement, our core values, the reason we can even put any number on a paper and drop it in a basket thinking about next year, is not because we have successfully managed to put down and let go of our personal idols that stand between us in perfect love. We'll struggle with letting them go forever. It's because of God. It's because God has seized hold of us. It's because God is working love in, with, among, and through us. Because God is doing the impossible, bringing the reign of love which casts out fear, bringing that to life for us. And to that, all people can say, Amen. Amen.